Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 Results Investor Conference Call of Dabur India Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Isha Lamba, Head Investor Relations and M&A. Thank you, and over to you, Ms. Lamba.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of the management of Dabur India Limited, I welcome you to the earnings conference call pertaining to the results for the quarter ended 30th September 2025. Present here with me are Mr. Mohit Malhotra, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Ankush Jain, Chief Financial Officer, Ms. Gagan Ahluwalia, VP Corporate Affairs, and Mr. N. Krishnan, GM Finance. We will start with an overview of the company's performance by Mr. Mohit Malhotra, and this will be followed by a Q&A session. I'll now hand over to Mr. Mohit Malhotra. Thank you.
Thank you, Isha. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We welcome you to Dabur India Limited's conference call pertaining to the results for the quarter ended 30th September 2025. In India, this quarter was marked by government's announcement of a landmark GST reform, a pivotal step towards enhancing affordability and increasing consumers' purchasing power, thereby laying the foundation for stronger consumption and demand acceleration. Nearly 66% of our portfolio benefits from the rate reduction, including key categories such as juices, toothpaste, hair oils, shampoos, glucose, and proprietary Ayurvedic medicines. With this, 86% of our portfolio is now at 5% GST. We demonstrated operational agility by executing timely price reductions across the portfolio, effectively transmitting the benefits to the consumers. While the GST reduction is structurally positive, it led to a temporary disruption in trade as the channel anticipated forthcoming rate reductions following lower MRPs. This resulted in a short-term moderation in sales in our India business during September. This quarter, our consolidated revenue grew by 5.4% year-on-year, with international business reporting a growth of 7.7% in INR terms and India FMCG business growing at 5.7% year-on-year. In the India business, HPC portfolio performed well with 8.9% growth year-on-year. The toothpaste portfolio continued its robust growth trajectory and delivered strong growth of 14% led by Dabur Red franchise and Meswak. Recently launched Swadeshi campaign for Dabur Red has garnered a positive market response, supporting volume momentum and strengthening the brand equity in the competitive toothpaste segment. The herbal segment growth in the category outpaced the non-herbal segment by 770 BPS, underscoring the strong and sustained consumer shift towards natural and herbal oral care products. Leveraging this shift, our portfolio outperformed overall toothpaste category growth, resulting in robust market share gains. Skincare portfolio registered a high single-digit growth driven by Gulabari and Oxy franchises. In the hair oil portfolio, hair oils grew ahead of the category and gained market share of 232 BPS. Shampoo category posted high single-digit growth. We remain focused on premiumizing and expanding our new age offerings in both hair oils and shampoo portfolios. The home care portfolio delivered mid-single-digit growth driven by robust double-digit performance in Odonil, strong performance in Sunny Fresh. Odonil's growth was supported by double-digit growth in gel pockets and aerosols, resulting in market share gain of 127 BPS. In our healthcare portfolio, health supplements grew in mid-single digit. Honey continued its leadership position and recorded a broad-based volume-led growth of 28% year-on-year. Premium variants like Sundarbans and Organic Honey witnessed good traction. We continue to gain market shares in Chyawanprash and glucose in the portfolio. In the digestive portfolio, Hajmola franchise posted robust double-digit growth with variants like Chatkola, Limkola, Mr. Ram now contributing more than 50% of the overall brand franchise. Within OTC and ethicals, Honitus registered a strong growth of 28% driven by a surge in demand during monsoons. All the key variants such as cough syrups, drops, and hot sips grew in double digits. Ayurvedic health juices continued to perform well, witnessing 25% growth. Overall category was impacted due to GST transition and discontinued diaper business. In juices and nectars, our premium portfolio Real Active 100% juices continued to scale rapidly and reported a robust growth of 45%, led by a two-fold increase in coconut water sales. Nectar sales were impacted by heavy monsoons across the country and floods across Jammu and Kashmir, Himachal Pradesh, Punjab and Uttarakhand. However, we continue to outperform the JNN category, gaining market share of 115 BPS in nectars and 1000 BPS in active juices. The recent GST rate cut from 12% to 5% on juices is anticipated to act as a strong demand catalyst going forward. The international business registered a growth of 7.7% in INR terms and 5.5% in constant currency terms, led by a CC growth of 12% in Dubai, 10% in Nigeria, 37% in UK, 11% in Namaste business, 37% in Turkey business, and 13% in Bangladesh business. Growth was impacted by geopolitical disturbance in Nepal, which declined by 15%. The situation has since improved and the new interim government has been formed. Talking of profitability, operating profit grew by 6.4% and PAT grew by 6.5% during the quarter. Despite the GST transition, seasonal headwinds and high inflation, both operating profit and PAT grew ahead of its top line in standalone and consolidated business on the back of price increases and cost-saving initiatives. Looking ahead, we remain optimistic about the sequential recovery in demand supported by improving macros, good monsoon, recent GST rate reductions, and expectation of a strong winter season. We are pleased to announce the launch of Dabur Ventures with capital allocation of INR 500 crores over the next few years. With this, we intend to make focused investments into high-potential, new-age, digital-first businesses that are closely aligned with our strategic vision roadmap. This initiative reaffirms Dabur's commitment to driving innovation-led growth, enhancing its premiumization agenda, and expanding participation in new consumer spaces that represent the categories of tomorrow. With this, I conclude my address and open the floor to any Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask the question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The first question is from the line of Avnish Roy from Nuvama Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. My first question is on the GST impact. So you had a very favorable base last year, and ideally you should have obviously gone much faster, which I think you may be doing the pre-GST impact. So could you clarify how much was the GST volume impact in Q2? The market leader said 2%. And in October month, are you still facing reasonable disruption? And you see normalcy coming in November, or already in mid-October, the normalcy has come?
So the GST impact is in the range of around 100 crore, give or take, for us, which is in the range of around 3-4% for us. And since the GST announcement, that is where the primary got impacted, and therefore the volume sales got impacted of the business, because the volume did not happen. I'm sure the liquidation of the inventory has happened, and we've been monitoring it. Liquidation of inventory is happening. So the impact wasn't restricted to only September. There will be a carry-forward impact in the month of October, and I think first 15-16 days of October will also be impacted due to GST. But long term, I think GST has been very transformative for the country, and it will unleash volume growth which are much better than what we've seen in the past, and as more money in the hands of the consumer, and the sentiment is also positive because of the GST. So that's what I feel will be the case.
Related question in terms of the GST cut, which categories you expect more benefit in terms of volume uptake? And in terms of lower unit packs, obviously there will be grammage increase there. So if you could tell us one ballpark number in terms of the GST rate cut portfolio, how much is the LUP where the grammage increase will happen? That will give us some idea where at least initially the volume uptake will be on the higher side. Could you give us some insights here?
Yeah, so LUPs for us contribute to around 27% of the overall business where we are doing grammage increases. So I think that is where the volume of the tonnage increase will actually happen. That's what I feel, because it will be like a surrogate consumer promotion, and consumer promotion also drives sentiment and therefore uptake in terms of primary sale and also secondary sale and stocking also. And the categories which I think will get favorably impacted, first of all, will be oral care in my view. I think that will be a big upside. Shampoo should be a good upside. Hair oil should gain on account of this. Then in healthcare, our Ayurvedic proprietary branded medicine should gain, so the rate has come down from 12% to 5%. So the pricing will come down in terms of almost at par with classical here. So this will give us a headroom to take up the prices in the long term. And also consumer sentiment in terms of shifting from unbranded to branded will also happen here. Our entire OTC portfolio has actually benefited from it. Be it Hajmola or Shilajit or all other brands, also the rates have come down to 5%. That also will benefit. And also in the low unit price points of beverages, which is 10 rupee, 20 rupee packs, should also get an upswing as LUP is from the GST.
Sure. My second question is on the beverages and nectar. Entire portfolio has been facing this competition from Campa Cola. So specific question here is, with the GST rate cut which has benefited you, how does this help in fighting, say, Campa Cola? Second is Campa Cola's incentives, dealer incentives, almost double of cola players. If you could tell us, how does your dealer incentive compare with, say, Campa? And would you need to change that? Because Tata's NourishCo has done that, and they have seen a very good growth comeback already. Would you need to do that, or already you have done some action in terms of the dealer incentive?
So I think in terms of overall category, now the aerated beverages, which is Campa Cola, impacted our juice category because the price index, the relative price index, actually went up because the price there dropped, and therefore the price disparity between the aerated and the juices went up drastically. With the GST reduction, the RPI is coming down. Therefore, the juices will become more affordable relative to the beverages. So it should provide a little bit of tailwind to our beverage portfolio. And that said, our beverage portfolio performance has been better in the current quarter as compared to the previous quarter, and the business has grown by around 1.5% to 2% and flat. At least it's come back on the growth path. As far as incentive is concerned, what the Reliance team is offering as an incentive to the trade, we also have greased up the trade in terms of the incentive that we are giving, and we hope that we'll be able to bridge the gap, not totally, but to a certain extent. Again, the rate RPI will also be the index will get reduced going forward from here. We've done it a bit, and we did it after the GST, and we'll continue the same going forward also.
Sure. Last question. Toothpaste, you have done quite well last few quarters. Market leader has not. So one question was, you said because of the GST rate cut, in terms of LUP, you do see toothpaste gaining on the higher side for you. So I wanted to understand that bit. Specific to toothpaste, how much is LUP? Second is, inverted duty structure is a big problem for market leader in toothpaste. So if you could tell us from a competitive landscape, how does this help you in toothpaste? And on an overall basis, this inverted GST structure, as a company, you also will face some issues. So if you could discuss that bit in terms of input and output, how much will be the GST service tax refund issue for you?
Okay, so in terms of overall toothpaste category, then I'll give it to Ankush to answer the second part of the question. But overall, oral care category has been growing. If you look at, I'll split up the whole category into herbal and non-herbal. Herbal category has grown at around 10x of the non-herbal, sorry, 5x of the non-herbal category. Non-herbal category has grown by 2%, and the herbal category has grown at 10%, so it's actually almost a 5x higher growth. And the herbal category now from 30% has become actually 32%. So there is a definite tailwind towards herbal natural, and this is happening because of Sureshi movement of homegrown and indigenous brands, which are being promoted. And if this whole theme resonates with PM Modi's thing also of movement towards the Sureshi brand, so that campaign for us has also paid off. And I think the overall business of oral care is doing well. And Meswak has grown at 25%. Our Red toothpaste is growing at around 16%. So I think, and two brands of Babool and LDM, which have not performed, also we are trying to refurbish those brands also going forward in the quarter, and you will see good growth coming back to these two brands also. So, and we gained market share of 60 basis points. So competitively, we performed better. In terms of lubricating the trade from a GST standpoint, also we've given better schemes to help and enable the intermediaries to cross over this, the new price, the old price and the new price kind of differential. We've offered some trade schemes, and so has the competitor also offered their trade schemes there. So we are doing whatever it takes to help oral care go to the next trajectory of growth. As far as the input tax credit, I will ask Ankush to take that question, and I can answer in case there's any other follow-up questions.
Yeah, hi Abhish. So like everybody, input tax credit will be an issue for us. So as you know, 90% of our portfolio, approximately 10% to be precise, has gone into 5% and remaining at 18%. So weighted average output would be around 6.5% to 7%. While our input tax we estimate to be around 8% to 8.5%. So there is a gap of 1.25% to 1.5% which will get accumulated. Having said that, we are working internally and also with the help of an external consultant how to build that. We have already identified certain action points which we are working as across sales, across marketing or even logistics to mitigate this impact. And I think we'll have more clarity in next 1 month or so in terms of implementation of those action points. But you're right, there is an inverted duty issue and which is a recurring issue, as the government has still not clarified what would be the probable solution. So technically and legally, you can get some bit of refund at least from the raw material and factory perspective, but from support services, as the legal position currently is, it is not refundable. So there is an issue, and we are working towards that.
Yeah, so we are actually waiting and watching the news as to what's happening with raw material and packaging material, where the duty structures are higher as to what we can pass on to the consumer. If there is no resolve from the government, then we may have to take a price increase, but we will see what the industry is actually doing. For the RMPM, to Ankush's point on services, we'll have to see how renegotiation will happen with freight forwarders or transporters, etc., to put it in the price itself rather than doing. So those all discussions are actually underway as we guys speak. As far as the intermediaries are concerned, and they are facing the impact of this input tax credit, there we are offering a higher credit or the higher schemes for them to this problem in their working capital, which has got stuck with this. So we are helping our intermediaries to whatever possible extent that we can by offering them a higher credit or giving them higher schemes. But that's happening case-to-case basis. I hope I'm clear.
So the line for the participant drop. We move to the next participant. The next question is from the line of Mihir Shah from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So firstly, in continuation with the previous question, post mid-October, have you seen any material improvement in volumes because of the GST reduction? Any clarification on that will be helpful.
And so as I told you, that it's going to carry forward for 15-20 days. And So a little bit of improvement will be there due to the festive season. So I think, but it's still a wait and watch situation. I will not say that all the inventory of the old price stock has been flushed out in the system, because there's a huge inventory. There will be a 15-day, around 30-day inventory sitting at the retail, then wholesale, then distributors around 20-day and then also in our CNFA. So all that is still getting flushed out. It is not that it is seamless. Once the new price comes into effect, which has come into effect, but the entire old price inventory is flushed out, then we can say that things are kind of streamlined. Still, a little bit of issues are there as far as the old prices are concerned with the trade and the intermediaries today.
Understood. So my first question actually is on Chyawanprash sales. It seems if honey has done so well, maybe Chyawanprash has not done so well because the category growth is relatively low. That is also on a very low base where you had destocked in the same quarter last year. Can you talk about how should one think about this category? What is is the category still appears to be impacted? And what can bring back the category growth going forward? Any steps that you're taking?
Yeah, so I think Chyawanprash has got impacted a couple of years due to the season, and the winter season has been contracted. This time we anticipate the winters to be more severe and prolonged as compared to what has happened in the last couple of years. But initial hiccups are the fact that the trade is holding old season inventory, and they are getting rid of that inventory also as soon as possible. As soon as the inventory gets flushed out, we have shifted the loading from last quarter to the current quarter, A, because of GST, B, because of some remnant inventory left from the previous season, and we'll be loading it in the current month as we speak. Loading is currently ongoing. So loading is got delayed, which is helping us to actually clean up the system, and GST has been a little bit blessing in disguise to that extent. As far as fundamentally what we are doing to the Chyawanprash category, we being the market leaders, we have launched a couple of variants to make Chyawanprash all-season brand. So therefore, rather than only a single Chyawanprash, we've launched multiple variants. Now the variants are contributing to almost 20-30% of the Chyawanprash business. We launched Khajurprash, especially for women, and that has done exceedingly well in the marketplace. Our sugar-free Chyawanprash is again doing very well in the market. In the current season also, we are wanting to launch another variant of Chyawanprash. So from the base Chyawanprash, we are premiumizing Chyawanprash, so the gross margin is actually moving up while the brand is becoming non-seasonal and getting spread out as we speak. So that is one effort is happening. Our monsoon campaign had come into last quarter, which did reasonably well in terms of Chyawanprash. That was second that we had done. Then we are extending formats in Chyawanprash. Gummies and bars will get launched in the Chyawanprash. That is the third effort which is actually happening in Chyawanprash. So all those efforts are ongoing. Plus, we've unleashed a new communication which is outside of immunity and more towards long-term build-up and habit formation with the kids to have Chyawanprash on a regular basis. That's using Akshay Kumar there. So that is also getting launched as we guys are speaking. So a lot of effort is happening. Plus, consumer promotions are also happening. Extra grammage is being given free in the current season for the consumer. So that's also underway as we speak. So a lot of initiatives happening on Chyawanprash.
Got it. So it seems that it can be on the path of recovery soon. So on the winter portfolio, can you give an update on the winter portfolio loading? It is expected to be delayed, but it is going to be harsh. Would that be sitting in the 2Q sales, or what can expect the winter loading to happen in 3Q, 4Q, and better sales to be seen in the quarter 3 and quarter 4?
So winter loading actually got pushed out because of the GST transition which is happening from quarter 2 to quarter 3. And we are, as we speak, as I told you, we are doing the winter loading. Winter portfolio, a significant part of our portfolio in the quarter 3. So if the winter is going to be harsh, we expect this quarter to be good relatively as compared to what we saw in the past. So I think winter loading will happen now. And if the winters are harsh and prolonged, then I think the whole company will actually benefit. Around a third of our portfolio will be winter seasonal skew in the current quarter.
So last question on the Dabur Ventures that you have set up. Dabur has, you know, one of the most diversified portfolio. Which category should one think that, you know, will, you know, get attracted to this? And what is the kind of investments that you have planned out? I might have missed out the outlay on the investment side on Dabur Ventures.
Parts of the question, Mihir. First is your diversified portfolio, then why Dabur Ventures? First, rationale to that. And the second part is outlay. Outlay is simple. The 500 crores of outlay that we kept for next couple of years, and the 500 crores meant for digital first brands, which are future forward looking brands, so that we can get high growth and we can extend our portfolio into the new age categories of the future. So that's the single purpose of creating this investment sort of a venture called Dabur Ventures, so that the focus attention provided and 500 crore is used for taking a minority slash a majority stake, will be flexible on it in the company, wherein we will be allocating capital and we will be growing the company, and if the company is able to sustain the growth, then gradually slowly acquire majority stake and therefore harness that growth which is coming from these digital first brands. That's the logic or the rationale of making this investment vehicle called Dabur Ventures. Yes.
Got it. Wishing you all the very best, sir.
Thank you very much. Yeah, so just the second part of the question to clarify. This doesn't preclude other M&A like Badshah, etc. that we have done. Badshah, Sesa, Basara, that it does not preclude that. So we got 7,000 crores in our balance sheet. The balance 500 crores is too small allocation as far as our balance sheet is concerned. The other part of the fund will be used for other acquisitions as usual. So it doesn't impinge upon those allocations in any case. Yeah.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Percy Panthaki from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, just trying to understand your performance on a two-year CAGR basis. But before that, sorry, I had another question before that is, can you tell me as of 30th September, what was the distributor days?
Distributor days, as of 30th September is around 22 days, you know, for us.
22 days, okay. Secondly, I just wanted to understand your two-year CAGR performance. So even if I adjust for this 4% impact of GST that you mentioned, the two-year CAGR comes to about 2%. So how do we interpret this performance? Assuming that the same underlying strength continues in the business, what kind of growth can we expect, because on a two-year CAGR basis only 2% as of now?
Yeah, so besides the GST impact, Percy, there's been other impact of the weather. As I told you, the inclement weather, and therefore our beverage business has almost remained flat, and that got impacted, number two. And the third impact also came in because, as I mentioned to you, there's turn cost loading did not happen, which I did not call out in our GST impact, which was over and above that, so that Chavan Prash loading of 60-70 crores could not happen because of the weather being and the trade carrying that kind of inventory, and we did not increase our number of days, and we are very conscious of the hygiene and therefore have not increased that. And so these two impacts are there, which also contribute to around 2-3% of the sales. Otherwise, 95% of our portfolio has gained market shares and the business done well. If you look at HPC, HPC has grown by around 9% of the business. If you even factor in the 2 year CAGR, the growths are good. It's healthcare and beverages which got impacted, and that's what is flagging the sales. Plus, there's been an impact of around 50-60 crores on Nepal. There was a GNG protest which happened in Nepal. Our international business, which is growing at double digit, has done a CC growth of 5.5%. So the business got impacted because of that, and also tariffs to the US. Some bit of impact on Badshah came in and exports to the US. which also will get addressed. So these macros actually kind of suppress the business growth.
Got it. Understood. So this 3-4% GST pipeline impact which has happened this quarter, do you expect that that similar amount of pipeline fill will happen in Q3?
Not to that extent, as we have cleaned up the pipeline there and we have not increased the pipeline. So, but we feel it will be relatively better than what we've seen in the past. Like the loading which did not happen in the previous quarter should happen in if the season is doing well. So that is what we expect it to be. Offsetting or seeing a depression in last quarter should happen, not completely, because we don't want to increase the pipeline. Once again, we want to keep the hygiene at around 22 or even improve it going forward by increasing secondary and lower primary.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt you, Percy. Can I request you to come back for a follow-up question, please?
Okay.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, kindly restrict to 2 questions per participant and rejoin the queue for a follow-up question. Next question is from line of Prakash Kapadia from Kapadia Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Mohit, if you can, you know, give us some sense, how do we, you know, look at the business over the next few quarters? Because, you know, I would guess there are tailwinds in terms of monsoons being good, GST coming in, which was not really expected, winter is expected to be good. So, in this scenario, is there a case, maybe not immediate quarter, but, you know, over the next few quarters to get to double-digit growth? And is there a, you know, shift from unorganized...
Sorry to interrupt you, Prakash, but there's a lot of airy sound coming from your line. Can you please speak through the handset?
Yeah. Yeah, 1 second. Is this better now?
Yeah. Sure, go ahead.
Is this better? Yeah. So I was trying to understand, is there a case from, you know, unorganized to organized market being possible with the GST card? So, you know, you could comment on some of these factors leading to growth. And secondly, from a rural and urban demand perspective, what categories will drive growth? And, you know, premiumization seems to be doing well pretty in, you know, most of the urban markets. So is that a play for Dabur? Is the time ripe for new product launches, at least on the urban side? So some thoughts on urban and rural on the game plan. That'll be helpful.
Right. So first of all, I think let me talk about urban and rural, your last question first. So rural is sustaining growth and for the company and also overall, I think there's a huge growth. If there's a 5.6% growth which is happening in overall FMCG, rural is growing at 8.5 and urban is growing at around 3.6. There's sustained resilience in rural and so is the case with Dabur also. And Dabur growth also, if you see, is a difference between around 400 to 500 BPS difference between urban and rural growth for us also, which is the case. So we see a 7% odds growth happening in GT in rural, and we see a around 3% odd growth happening as far as our urban is concerned. If I leave aside the modern trade and e-commerce, this is completely urban piece. So there is a tailwind on rural. To capitalize on this tailwind, we are looking at the LUP bundles and doing a lot of activation in rural and harnessing that growth of rural. So we see a, one of the pivots of growth for us is definitely bottom of the pyramid and rural, leveraging our distribution of super stockers and sub stockers also. And we are looking at initiatives expanding our distribution going forward, reaching out to more number of villages and increasing our portfolio and increasing visibility to our sales as well as rural is concerned through SFA and through DMS and upgrading our sub stockers who are greater than around 6-7 lakhs of turnover to become stock is. So we have a project Saksham which is currently ongoing and we are working on expanding our rural footprint as far as India is concerned. So we feel the huge rural footprint and monsoon has been great, agricultural output is fantastic, kharif, you know, acreage is kind of improved, MSPs is going up, Mandrega allocation is not there. So everything is in favor of rural and rural I think will drive the business growth, especially the volume growth forward. As far as urban is concerned, urban is also past couple of quarters actually inching up for us. And to drive urban, we have now very systematically taken premiumization as one of the initiatives, and that was also mentioned in the 7 moves of our strategy. So we are tracking premiumization in brand category after category. We are looking at premiumization. As I mentioned, in 7 Plus, we are looking at gummies in hair oils. We are looking at value-added products. And we are looking at serums in oral care, in home care, in health supplements, in OTC products, and in food, wellness food. So we are looking at premiumization, and we are driving premiumization percentage of the overall mix. And the way we define it, 20% higher MRP and also accretive to the gross margin of the respective category. So premiumization is the agenda that we are driving. As well as, again, rural is concerned, unorganized to organized movement we see, because the price points have got bridged between unbranded and branded. So definitely there will be a movement happening from unbranded to branded, which I mean from unorganized to organized. So things are looking up, and the season is also looking up. So for the balance of the year, we look at a mid to a high single digit growth backed by low to mid volume growth. We don't want to promise high here. That's the kind of guidance that we are looking at going forward for the next half of the year. The first half obviously got impacted by weather and GST transition. But the second half, our guidance remains what we had already alluded to before.
Okay. That gives us confidence to the recovery path. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you, Prakash.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Avi Mehta from Macquarie Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. So just a clarification, mid to high single digit is for the second half, sir, or for the full year? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Yeah, so mid to high single digit, we're talking about the second half, actually. That's the guidance that we give. So that's the second half, backed by a volume growth of around mid single digit. That's the volume growth going to be, yeah.
Okay. Sir, I mean, the reason why, if I may push back, sir, we have winter also working. We also, I mean, the loading is yet to happen. We also have GST related kind of coming back. Could there be an upside risk here? That is what would be the case, because, you know, initially we're hoping to kind of drive a more mid to high single digit for the full year. So just wanted to appreciate, you know, how are you looking at this guidance and how should we see it? What is driving the expectation?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm being a little, you know, high single is what optimistically we should be able to achieve. But I'm giving you a guidance of mid to high to be not faltering here. But a high single is what we should be achieving if everything comes in our favor, because, you know, the Gen Z protest in Nepal, we did not count for. This Trump tariff, we did not. So there are unforeseen events which actually happen, which actually push back the business. So I'm factoring that in case something. Otherwise, a high single digit should look quite possible for us, and backed by mid-single volume growth. But don't hold me on to it. So that's what we think should be. Yes.
Well, very clear. Sir, just if I may, on the margin side also, if you could give us, should we see EBITDA growth being higher than sales growth for the full year? Is that an expectation that we still have? And if I may put the next question, sir, or just, you know, clarification on Dabur Ventures. While I, you know, understand the philosophy, could you just deep dive into any categories that you would look for in particular, whether there'll be adjacencies, new categories, and, you know, IRRs, what are the metrics or things that you would kind of focus on when you're doing investments? Those are the two questions. Thank you.
Right. So as far as margin is concerned, definitely, I think we've seen, despite whatever headwinds we face in international business or in the domestic business, despite GST, our margins driven by gross margin have been higher. Plus, there was huge inflation, 8% inflation that we faced in the first half. Despite that, our margins have kind of held up, and 20 basis points increase in our gross margin, and the operating margin has also gone up, and our first half margins are operating margin around 19% broadly. So I think for the full year, our margins will definitely be better than the top line, and we are looking at saving initiatives also. In the first hour, saving initiatives in the range of around 60 odd crores. So we are continuously tracking those saving initiatives as we go on. So I think margins, we are good as far as current days concerned. We passed on all the inflation to the consumer. And while we take a 5% price increase, the inflation was 8%. Our saving initiatives came in. So all that we've been able to pass on. As far as Dabur Ventures, what categories we look at, we will restrict ourselves to our existing categories and we will not go beyond the existing categories, because earlier also there was a question on diversification. We are already quite a diversified portfolio. So we restrict ourselves to home and personal care, HPC, healthcare and wellness foods and beverages. That is what we will restrict ourselves, and HSNC across these portfolios which are premium, which are resonating with the digital first consumer, with the Gen Z and Gen Alpha. We will get into modernization of format, and any digital first company which has got a head start to what we can do it organically ourselves is what we will kind of speak to and get the company in the early stages of its formation. So that's what this venture is meant to do. Not to get diversified into multiple other categories. We want to stick to our knitting and our categories and adjacencies, what it may be. Yeah. As far as the number of companies that, in terms of IRR is concerned?
Yeah, in terms, I think, in terms of our returns, we think it should be superior than our current treasury is.
No, over the long term, we expect the returns to be ahead of our treasury. Our treasury returns are in the range of around 6 to 7%. We expect to be a little higher than the treasury over a long term. Immediately, when you acquire a company, obviously there will be a hit in the P&L, but that will absorb for the long term better yield than the treasury.
Got it, sir. Got it. Wish you a lot of luck and thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Harit Kapoor from Investec India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. One clarification here. Firstly, the presentation mentions the growth ex Badshah for India FMCG. Just trying to understand, why that is the case. Why you kind of X that out while giving the numbers.
So actually, as far as our published financials are concerned, we put Badshah in the consolidated numbers. So from that point of view, we've given X Badshah. That's the reason. But Badshah also, the domestic business has grown well.
Got it. So the difference between the standalone and the India? Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, Harit, in fact, the Badshah does not get into India. It's consolidated at a consolidated level since it's a subsidiary
I understand. I was just one. I thought maybe in the presentation you would give a consol number. I got the point for the India FMCG. So the difference between the two is still the export piece, right? I think you have a export piece. So that's the difference between your India FMCG and standalone number. That's the way to look at it, right?
That's right.
Got it.
Yeah, there's a piece of a private label, there's a piece of a guar gum business, there's a piece of an intercompany export. All that is a difference to the India FMCG plus private label plus guar plus intercompany exports, which comes to the total standalone business.
Got it. The second thing was, you mentioned that you passed on this pricing about 5%. But when I look at the numbers, the 5.7 and 2% doesn't fully reflect. So I'm just wondering, has that happened through the quarter? And will you see this kind of 4-5% on pricing in quarter three, quarter four going forward? Is that the right way to think about it?
Yeah, the pricing will pricing will carry forward. In quarter three also, we expect an inflation of 7%, so this will carry forward into the quarter three also, because we've just taken the price increases also. The difference, why it strictly doesn't add up, is because a lot of trade schemes and consumer schemes also go, which get netted off on the top line, and that is why. And we had to lubricate the trade because of GST also. We had to give additional schemes. So they get netted off from the top line as well, because that's a primary driven scheme that we operated. So that's why you won't see a full difference between the two.
And more just on this, just follow up on this part. So the gross margin actually sequentially has improved quite a bit, you know, 300 basis points, despite your lubrication of this of the trade and not the full impact of the pricing. So is there a mix element here also, because of toothpaste has done better, foods not so much, which would have driven you know, a higher GM, and that should to some extent normalize in the quarters going forward as foods also starts to pick up?
Yeah. So, Harit, you know, let me try to answer. What you're saying is the situation is up by 300 bits, but ours is a seasonal business. So, in the first half of the first quarter, it is more juices, glucose, and other stuff. But here, you know, we start with loading of chyawanprash and some bit of honey itself, and hence the seasonality. And therefore, you can't compare sequential margins in our business because of seasonality.
I was just trying to understand
if you look at the YOY, I think year on year, Harit, that's a better way of looking at it. And there it's a 20 bits improvement. There's not a 300 bits. Sequentially, the portfolio differs. And you're rightly to your point, juices did not do as well. Juices is very high in the first quarter. So I think juices doesn't, if the season ends in the first quarter and you end into a lean quarter in quarter two. So that goes down, which is inherently a low gross margin as compared to healthcare and home and personal care, which is a high margin for us. It's a category play and a product play. And that is what is impacting the margins on the positive side.
Fair, fair. And my last question is on ventures. So Dabur Ventures, is there a separate team leading this initiative?
Yeah, we've got Mr. Abhinav Dhal, who joined us from McKinsey. He's an expert as well as private equity, venture capitalist, and he's got a huge experience and a very talented gentleman. So I think he will be heading Dabur Ventures, and if need be, then we'll be supporting him with other members also who will be exclusively working on Dabur Ventures. But today, he will be exclusively leading this whole venture.
Great. That's all from me. Wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mehul from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Sorry, my questions are answered. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Nitin Gupta from MK Global Financial Service. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. First question is around your guidance around mid to high single digit growth in second half. If I be particular about Q3, so we have multiple benefits in terms of winter loading, primary sales safe shift, GST benefit. So any sense you can provide in terms of how you see the domestic growth in Q3 particularly?
Anitin, it's very difficult for me to give you a guidance of such a short-term business. Long-term, I can comment upon, but short-term, very difficult. As I told you, it all depends upon how the season pans out, because this quarter is going to be very season-dependent and very winter-centric for us. And a third of the portfolio is winter-centric. While our winter products are doing well, Anitin's last quarter gave us a growth of 28%. Honey's also grown by 28%. Etc. We expect thing for Chyawanprash is a big one, and all depends upon how Chyawanprash offtakes and fares in the market. It's difficult for us to give you a guidance in such a short term.
Yeah, this is fine. So my question was also pertaining to the price growth. We are sort of having around 5%, so that itself takes to mid single digit. So. Sort of any headwind particularly you see which is limiting your guidance? Or aspiration, you can say, like, will not chase you for the number, but just wanted to have some clarity on this.
So not really. We don't see any headwind as of now. I think we are only seeing the tailwind. The only headwind which I told you is that the GST transition is carrying forward into the October month also. and there is an old price talk still with the trade, and till the time that gets flushed out, the whole system is not getting streamlined. So that is the only, you know, hiccup that we see in the current quarter. Otherwise, not much we have seen. Even in the past, situation is relatively better as compared to the previous quarter. And we hope the Trump tariff situation also getting resolved in the short term.
Sure, sir. Thank you. Second question is with respect to, like, we have the widest portfolio in FMCG. And the question is around, like, how we are aligning our portfolio with youth. So HUL in this quarterly call have highlighted that Gen Z is 400 million and they are basically driving the shift in growth and they are looking to sort of align their portfolio with youth. So do you agree with the view and any perspective you can provide here? Thank you.
No, so I think it's not aligning my view to HUL. I think they've got their own strategy. We've got our own strategy. As I told you, there are two pivots of growth as far as Dabur is concerned. One is the growth of premiumization, where we are modernizing and contemporizing our portfolio and all our brands, whether it's hair oils or it's shampoos or it's home care or skin care. We are modernizing, and that is towards this 400 to 500 million cohort, which is the urban cohort of consumers. Out of that, only 2% or 3% are in the income bracket who earn more than around 2-3 lakh rupees per month kind of a income bracket. So it's more razor-sharp approach of going to e-commerce and doing premiumization. So that's the premiumization pivot of growth. The second pivot of growth is a rural pivot of growth towards bottom of the pyramid, which is towards LUPs, etc. So two growth forks for us. One is the premium end, which is where we are contemporizing the brands and premiumizing it and making it more relevant to the Gen Z and the new generation, to your point, like giving you examples. Like Chyawanprash, Zami is coming in, so that is a good thing. Launch of science that we've already done, that has happened. Launching a Shilajit resin, which has already happened. So all those initiatives are meant to relate with the new consumer. And but that will be more of a premiumization, a more price-driven, more profit driver. And the bottom of the pyramid is going to be more volume driver and more bulk driver for business. So that's our strategy in terms of premiumization and innovation and relating with the current Gen Z. Yeah.
Sure, thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I'll now hand the conference over to Ms. Isha Lamba for closing comments.
I would like to thank all the participants for joining today's call. The webcast recording and transcript will be available on our website. Thank you and have a great evening ahead.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Dabur India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.